superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here we go now.
With guest host Jim Jackson, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Listen, DJ Burns is my favorite player right now in college. Come on.
Yeah. I text Chris. Probably the first 10 minutes of the first game, I said, DJ Burns is my new favorite player.
He's the best.
Today's guests, Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward, Purdue men's basketball head coach Matt Painter, CBS Sports NFL analyst Charles Davis, and now, sitting in for Rich, Jim Jackson.
Good morning, morning, or afternoon, depending if you're on the East Coast here. What time is it? 9 o'clock in the morning? We're up.
Noon. 9 o'clock Pacific, baby.
TJ, what's up?
You know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah. You know, there's that.
So we doing that already?
What's in that cup over there?
What's in that cup, man?
This is, you know, just a little early. Just a little tea to help with the voice.
I got you. Little Mike.
What's in it?
What's happening, Jim?
Come on, man.
Good to see you, Dave.
Good to see you, Chris.
I mean, we've got plenty of booze on this set.
Yeah, we
can easily just crack something.
See, but no cigars.
No cigars.
There we go.
No cigars in here.
No, but welcome. Hey, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was a great
day yesterday. I didn't scare you too much yesterday, so.
Oh, man, so much fun.
Guess I'm back. Two things. We got some news today.
Man.
Oh, wait, but we got news, but TJ, you came in with a smile on your face today. Well, I mean,
yes,
what
indeed.
Did something happen yesterday? Did somebody play?
I received a present yesterday in the form of a 7 foot, 280-pound human being being back on the basketball court, and it was spectacular. It was real and spectacular. Joel Embiid came back, so that was.
So maybe it was a surprise, because remember yesterday we talked about he wasn't at shoot around.
Shoot around, so Chris, we were like,
know.
He's not going to play,
right?
So
it was like surprise.
Did you watch the game?
I did.
How did you think he looked?
I thought he looked really good. You could tell.
Winded
a little bit. But, you know, when he's out there, the presence, you have to.
Difference, right?
Account for the man. And he made a difference on both ends of the court. It kind of makes you wonder where this team would be if he had played all of February and March, where the Sixers would be.
No Shea Gilgeous Alexander, no Jaden Williams, but it's still a W. Still a W. Philly needed.
But you got to wonder if those two had played, would the outcome have been different? But you know what? I don't care about that, because we got the dub. So shame on them for not playing.
Some other big news, huh? Maybe in NFL.
Man, we're sitting here like 45 minutes ago.
Drop a bomb on them.
What?
And it was like breaking news.
Breaking.
Wait, what?
It was like, and you called it because you pointed.
Well, I was like, hold on, wait. Oh, because we were, you know, we had First Take on, like on our on our mix. Stephon Diggs traded from Buffalo to the Houston Texans.
The hell going
on? Oh, man.
Wow.
This is major.
Wow. Mike Hoskins, our produced diehard Buffalo fan. He literally looked at his computer and said, I feel sick.
He feels sick. But, you know, we were saying, too, though, the last couple of years there's been these trade rumors with Trayvon Diggs about stuff maybe happening or whatever, but nothing ever happened. Now,
disgruntled, disgruntled. Last year, Sean McDermott was like, I wonder what's going on with him. I feel like this has been a lot in the works.
In the works for a while. Yeah.
This was going to happen at some point.
It felt like it.
It felt like it was almost inevitable that he was going to split with Buffalo. The weird Twitter post yesterday responding to someone about Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, yeah.
So maybe it's the best for a new, you know, change of scenery for him.
Chris, can you fill me in on that Twitter post? Because I did not see that.
Oh, somebody asked about Josh. What was it? It was whether the receiver made Josh.
Oh, Josh made the receiver.
And then Stephon Diggs responded with, you sure?
You sure.
Oh, wow.
Hold on, but did he say something during the year in regards to Josh Allen? had some kind of quote, and I'm not, you know, I thought I saw something, not from a negative perspective, but
yeah, I don't know,
just something about what was going on. But but you know what's weird about it though? First thing I asked you was, okay, what was the trade? And you said just draft compensation.
Just straight up. So the Bills are getting a second round pick back from Houston in 2025, not even in this year's draft, a 2025 second rounder that came from Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And now the Texans get Stephon Diggs, a 2024 sixth rounder, and a 2025 fifth rounder.
But no player. So
no player back.
Does that say something in regards to them wanting to just move on, but yes, not getting a player back and just giving up the draft picks?
Definitely moving on. Right. And definitely seems like Buffalo's taking a wide receiver at 28 in a few weeks,
right,
in Detroit. I just immediately thought about it from the Houston perspective. Look, obviously they hit on C.J. Stroud.
Excuse me, where is he from?
The Ohio State. We're going to talk about this in a second. Like, when did the V start there, Jim?
All right.
That's sacrilege.
Did you start that? You might have started that. No, it was
a little bit after my time at Ohio State.
Stroud, huge hit, obviously. Okay. Tank Dell before he got injured, huge hit.
My MVP.
Nico Collins coming out party. They get Joe Mixon. In free agency. Will Anderson on the defensive side. He was defensive rookie of the year as well. Houston is coming for Kansas City. Yeah. Yep. And I just immediately asked, are they now the best chance in the AFC to take out the Chiefs, fellas?
Man, bro.
Because we're all chasing. We're chasing 15.
Yeah,
we're,
obviously.
We're chasing Kansas City.
He's the white rabbit.
We're chasing Kelsey. We're chasing the big man, Andy Reid. We're chasing Stone Cold Jones.
Yep.
You know, Chris, there's still...
Houston do enough? Does this kind of put them in the mix now?
In the mix? Absolutely, they're in the mix. They were in the mix before, and now, you know, they added some extra ingredients. It's going to take some time for this to process, but yeah, bro, like, that offense was incredible last year, and now you're adding a guy like Steph Diggs to the mix, and you got to wonder, like, yesterday we talked about, I made a joke about chemistry in the locker room.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, they just gave this man up for virtually nothing. So now you got to wonder, was the locker room really in just shambles? Because you got to get something for this guy, right? Like, you can't just give him away for a future second rounder.
Not even in this year's draft.
Not even in this year's
draft. Not even in this year. So they can package that and move up for something
just wasn't right, would you agree?
Felt like something was off with Steph the last couple of seasons. Like I mentioned, the stuff last off season, and then just look at his snap rate this year, down each of the last couple of years in Buffalo. You know, look, Josh Allen obviously looked to him, but still something was off.
Yeah, you could tell.
You could tell. I think you could tell.
You could tell. And I'm a big. I grew up playing football. I'm a Steelers fan, so when Cam Hayward comes on later, I'm just, you know, all over it right there. But last year, you can tell. But we go back to the question about, can they usurp Kansas City? But we saw this year in the Super Bowl that maybe not as talented in the past as in the past, Kansas.
Mm, right.
But with Andy Reid, with Steve Spagnuolo on the defensive end, and then with that anomaly number 15, and big number 87, employee number 87. It's just when it comes down to a one game scenario.
Oh, but it's winning
time. Can you get them during the regular season that something happens and play? Maybe, but in that playoff scenario, how do you bet against them?
When it's winning time.
It's just certain teams, I don't care whether it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey, that when they're in their mix, when they're in their time, it's just like, how do you bet against them?
Yeah.
You know, and again, being young, we talked about being young like yesterday with OKC. You haven't been through the fire yet, trying to figure things out. How can you win? Houston could be considered that same thing with CJ, as good as he is, to kind of go through the gauntlet of figuring it out to get over. Now, we're talking what could happen in the future, but it's a great story going into the season. I tell you that, you know, my Steelers, and we will talk about this in the AFC. Now I'm just like, oh, man. Oh, man.
Now, we looked it up, right? Bills go to Houston. Is that right? Mike Hoskins. Yeah. Ooh, Bills go to Houston. Don't know yet. Schedule hasn't been announced.
That's right. Okay.
Schedule be announced at sometime in early May.
Ooh.
Bills at Texans next year. Now, do the Chiefs play the Texans? Because that could be a toasty, tasty opening kickoff season. Season kickoff on Thursday night after Labor Day this year, right? If the Chiefs play the Texans, let me just look at their schedule real quick.
It could be a great marketing tool, headline tool.
In Kansas City.
Oh, no.
So that could go down.
But when? What's the date?
Not announced yet, but that could be the kickoff.
It'd be interesting if they have it early. Before kind of winter hits in Kansas City, before it's a, but
oh yeah, that's got to be in the running for season kickoff, right?
You got to hold that game.
You do.
That's really? A Sunday
why?
Night.
Why? You think it's Sunday
that's
night football?
That's a Sunday night. 100%. That's a Sunday night football game written all over it.
Not early.
You can't do that as the first game. Who, you got to hold it.
Look, if you look at the other options,
give me the other go
for Kansas City.
Okay.
It's they play the Niners on the road. They play Buffalo on the road. So you could start them with the Chargers. You could have Jim Harbaugh's back, and you could have that as the opener.
Uh-huh.
Cincinnati.
I like that one.
Cincinnati.
I like the Jim Harbaugh.
Joe Burrow's back. You could have MVP. Lamar Jackson, you could have the Ravens.
They're going to get three Sunday night footballs.
Yeah.
So you got two of them right off the bat.
I'm just saying.
You got the San Francisco.
So let's go. Houston.
Chargers. And the Chargers also. I think it's
just interesting because of Jim. Because of
Harbaugh. I think that's you open with him, Herb, and them in. Yeah.
I'm kind of mad at Jim, though.
Uh-oh.
Because he left without me winning a couple games before he got out of Michigan. You know what I'm saying? It was fun while he was there. Because I remember his opening, when he got hired, I was doing a Michigan basketball game.
Okay.
And they brought him in to, to the fans to reintroduce him to. And I was happy for him. I said, this is great for the Big Ten that Jim is back. You know, but we dominated. Then the last few years.
Yeah.
He did. Now, how about this? You want to have commonality?
Sure.
What do Jim Harbaugh, Urban Meyer, and Jim Jackson have in common?
Born in the same hospital?
Yes.
Oh,
hey, I didn't know that.
He looked that up.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I guess.
No. So, same hospital.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Toledo, Ohio.
Hey.
Mercy Hospital, downtown. All three Hall of Famers
were two and a half.
How about that? two and a half.
You better put a little bit more respect on Urban's name.
Oh, yeah.
Half, Jimmy. Like, come on.
How about that?
Oh, that
wow.
is.
Yeah, so when I found, I heard about it a while ago. But then when I found out, I said, I'm in pretty good company, man.
I'd say so.
Oh, that's actually.
Toledo pumped him out.
Dude, what?
That's
it's
pretty wild.
Yeah, how about it? How about it? But here we go. So we got it pumped up. We got it started with that.
This is great. It's been an insane offseason. Seems like something just keeps happening every week or so. And here it is. Steph Diggs to Houston. Oh. DJ, they got Joe Mixon. I just can't keep talking about Joe Mixon in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Now Steph Diggs to go with Tank Dell, Nico Collins, breakout year. Dalton Schultz, we didn't mention before.
No, didn't mention him before, yeah.
And Stroud.
So with Stroud, too, and I loved him because he was a pocket passer at Ohio State. So people,
Damon Pierce is
he mobile enough? Could he? I think he showed pretty much what he could do. But what is as great of a year as he had, and is always that progression? What's, in your opinion, what's the next step for him?
Well, he was MVP talk for like two or three weeks, and then there before he got the concussions and missed a couple games.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're talking about Stroud. You're going to see him in fantasy, TJ. Oh. He's going to go for so much in your auction league.
Oh.
He's going to be kept in my league. We're talking top five quarterback in the league, and he's going to be in the MVP conversation now for the next decade.
Wow. The 4,000 yards passed and 23 touchdowns, but only 5 picks.
That's maybe
as impressive as the other two, because as a rookie coming in, trying to read these defenses, mm-hmm. trying to get your bearings straight, the coordinators are throwing stuff at him. To only have 5 interceptions last year.
With C.J. Stroud, but also the offensive coordinator kind of skewing back the playbook a little bit to ensure that his first year, he's comfortable mm-hmm. with the offensive schemes and able to read the defenses.
Yeah, and we're going to hear a lot about Bobby Slowick, the Texans offensive coordinator. He's going to, if they do it again this year. Uh-huh. Deep playoff run. Stroud's in the MVP mix. Slowik's going to get his choice of head coach openings in 2025. But this is the year. Blast off, TJ. You mentioned the touchdown interception ratio. Let's get that way high. Let's get 35 touchdowns. Maybe eight picks. 4,500 yards. Texans win 12 games. 12-5. Win the South. Like, sky's the limit for this team.
Houston does not have a problem. No. In this case.
Look at you, Mike. Look at you. That's why we keep you around. This is huge.
Yeah. But we're talking about the landscape of the AFC.
Yep.
You put Houston ahead of Buffalo now?
I think you got to.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Let's power rank the AFC. Kansas City obviously won.
Chris, real quick, before we can do that, let's just go... The South is theirs? Are we now saying the South is theirs?
So you give the South to Houston.
No doubt. You got faith in Jacksonville. Anthony Richardson's coming back after missing all last year. We don't know. Titans never know. Year two, Will Levis.
So we're giving the South to the Texans. Just wanted to throw that out there real quick.
Okay.
But now, I mean, the North, we're going to talk to Cam Hayward in a couple of minutes. North is a beast.
Beast, bro.
North is a beast.
They're going to
beat the Steelers, new quarterback room, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. Lamar Jackson, second MVP, Joe Burrow. He's back. Cleveland, Deshaun's going to be back.
But that's an interesting one to me. It's like Cleveland always had these moving pieces. They had a great defense, but the offense was behind. The offense was up in some defensive things where they got hurt. But when it comes together, Cleveland looks like a very formidable.
Yeah, on paper. Because
you got receivers, you got running, you got defense. Deshaun is the key to me.
Chubb coming off an injury next
year. Deshaun is the key, right?
He's the key. Can he stay healthy? Can he look like the Houston Deshaun?
Right. But with that system, does he need to look like the Houston Deshaun or?
Depends if Nick Chubb is healthy. That's a run for Cleveland's always been a run first team.
Yeah.
But look, we're now a few years removed from Houston Deshaun. So maybe he's a different type of player.
That's what I'm thinking.
Battle on injuries, all the off the field stuff.
Uh huh.
I don't know. I mean, I guess Cleveland's kind of.
I think that's the one question.
Are they third? They're in Pittsburgh. I mean, look, Burrow back, Lamar, Bengals, and Ravens are clearly the cream of the AFC North. And then it's can Pittsburgh and Cleveland kind of fight to get a third playoff team in there?
I mean, the first thing is you mentioned Nick Chubb, right? We don't know when he's going to come back. Is he going to be ready for the beginning of the season?
So they didn't say if he was going to come out from the knee.
We just don't know. That was such a devastating knee injury that he suffered against the Steelers last year. So, but, you know, Jerome Ford, he'll tilt the rod. Cleveland didn't have a lot of stability in terms of the quarterback spot last year because, they had four or five different quarterbacks. So now, just get the stability. Really decent group of wide receivers with Cooper, Elijah Moore, and now Jerry Jeudy, who a lot of people are down with.
Right.
But, you know, I got a fortune cookie once, and it said sometimes a change of scenery makes all the difference in the world.
Big time.
So who knows? Maybe Jerry Jeudy leaves Denver because that kind of seemed like a house of fire, right, at some point. Maybe he comes to Cleveland. He gets something that he was missing, and he becomes that guy who everyone thought he was going to be coming out of college. So – it's exciting, man. That, you know, because right now that's all we have, right? Every TV show, every radio show, we're just going to sit here and prognosticate.
Of course.
That's the beautiful part about this offseason because now, we don't know. And that's
the beauty of it.
Best thing about it.
I love it. We're good. We're going to go to break. But when we get back, we're going to talk to, of course, Pittsburgh Steeler legend Cam Hayward. But more importantly, Ohio State. Ohio State Buckeyes. So on the other side of the break, come back. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Let's go.
Walter Payton Man of the Year. Stay tuned.
Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Can you tell me the story, the famous story of you noticing John Candy in the crowd before that 2 minute drill to the Bengals?
Harris Barton was a people person. So yes. We were free for dinner during the week, but you know, practice and meetings, and then come back after dinner and more meetings. So when he would come back from dinner, he was like a little kid. He could not wait to tell you about all the celebrities he saw while he was at dinner. And so we were just standing there, and between the tight end and his shoulder was framed John Candy.
And in the crowd.
He was on the sideline.
Oh, he's on the sideline.
And so I sat there and I looked and I go, dang, I don't remember Harris saying he saw John Candy.
This is what you're thinking in the Super Bowl with minutes to go and needing to drive down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I walked over and said, hey, man, there's John Candy. And Harris stood like this for 8 minutes, perfectly still. He was a little bit anal that way. He would not move. He was like little. I didn't do it to unwind him. I just thought he would appreciate seeing John Candy.
Did you ever meet Candy, or that was the only time?
Yeah, no, I had met John a few years before that. My contract was up.
Okay.
And he was, you know, one of the owners of the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
He was trying to get me to go to Canada.
Come on.
Yeah. They just didn't have enough money.
But if the price was right,
I might have been wearing an Argonaut.
You'd have a 55-yard line. You'd be like, I'll do that. So he legitimately said, you know, hey.
Yeah, we had a couple meetings about it. Yeah.
You did. So this is real. Like, it wasn't oh, by the way.
No.
Wow. I love that.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network.
I'm
sitting at Rich Eisen Show Desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Welcome back. We got a lot of conversation going on this month. I love it. In the summertime, what was the big word you use?
Prognosticator.
Yeah, there you go. I went to that public university, man. Sometimes it gets by me.
I majored in journalism. I minored in English.
There it is. But that's the beauty about right now, because you're trying to figure out over the summer how all of this is going to play out, and you know you're going to get it wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can guess now.
It's going to work out. So, but do you stick? When you put the guesswork in, you put it down, how long do you stick with it when it starts to go another way?
Oh, that's a good question.
Seriously, because you got in your mind what you think is going to be, mm-hmm. and you're watching it play out, and then at what point do you start to say, maybe I need to stay here here.
Let's look at last year's playoff teams. Okay. Which of the ones, who was the biggest shocker? Probably Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Because you look at the NFC, San Francisco, Dallas, Detroit. Like, Detroit got the opening game last year against Kansas City. So mm-hmm. We thought they were kind of on a path, especially the way they ended 2022.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then Philly, we thought they were going to be good. The Rams, maybe that was kind of a surprise.
Ooh,
I was kind of among the people
because
who thought the Rams. Well, it looked like they were kind of going, they were kind of like, you know, not tanking, but like kind of going in a different direction and kind of regroup. But Green Bay, I guess, kind of was ahead of schedule with Jordan Love's first year.
Jordan Love, right.
And how young they were.
Mm-hmm.
But in the AFC, it was just kind of who we thought. I mean, aside from Aaron Rodgers getting hurt on the first drive of the year, Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, Cleveland, Miami, Pittsburgh, like all kind of the usual suspects. Cincinnati being out, But that's Joe Burrow getting injured. Jacksonville kind of not as good as we thought. I guess we kind of thought they were going to be a little bit better.
Well, they were for like 11 weeks and then.
But it wasn't like super surprising a lot of the playoff teams. And then you just kind of look every year, you know, there's turnover. Half the teams are not making the playoffs, you know, 2 years in a row. So who are those teams going to be
that
either don't make it or now, you know, find their way into it? Is, you know, or is Washington a playoff team next year with Jaden Daniels or Drake May? Is Chicago a playoff team with Caleb Williams next year? Atlanta with Kirk Cousins?
Well, one thing you always do, Chris, like every year, your thing is you take the teams who made the playoffs and your thing is always, all right, who's not making the playoffs?
Who's not making the playoffs?
That's, you know, we got to look at that. Like, because obviously, they're not all going back.
They're not all going back. And if you look at the AFC, do we think the Chargers are going to be better with Jim Harbaugh? Do we think they're going to be better? They were 5-12. Are they going to win?
You would assume, right?
I would assume, but they haven't, you know, they've kind of stripped the roster down a little bit. It's not a good roster right now.
Yeah, they lost both receivers. They lost their tailback.
Yeah.
Right.
Scheduling is huge, too. When they play, who they play, where they play.
Right.
It's huge for that.
The Jets, they've had a really good offseason, and Aaron Rodgers is back. Do we think they're going to be a playoff team?
Right.
Let's say yes. Who do they replace?
Who they replace, yeah.
Well, you know, and there's Jets last year, despite not having Aaron, 7-10, okay, you figure if he's in there, he's how many more wins?
Four, probably.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like, I think that's a great question in regards to not who's going to pop out.
So who do they replace? Let's say they replace Miami. Let's just say, you know, AFC East gets two teams, Jets in, Dolphins out, Bills still in, or maybe not. Like, and you just go down to Denver. Do we think they've done enough to make the playoffs? Probably not. No. Raiders, probably not. Jacksonville,
like I said, for half the season we thought. But
could Jacksonville be what Tampa Bay was?
Yeah, Jacksonville could easily.
You know?
They were 9-8, so they could easily get two more wins. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're 11-6. Boom, they're back in the playoffs. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow's back.
That's going to come.
No Joe Mixon, T. Higgins. Will he get traded on draft day? Maybe. But you got to figure Joe Burrow's good enough to just carry this team to a couple more wins.
Absolutely.
They're in the playoffs. So who are you taking out? Cleveland, are they coming out? Is Buffalo coming out?
Probably. Now, that's going to be an interesting
because
one, too.
Baltimore, what the effect of Houston, Kansas City. We think they're going to be in next year,
absolutely,
right?
True that.
And then Pittsburgh, we're going to talk to Cam in a minute. But Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, whoever's starting there, they were a playoff team last year. They won 10 games despite how putrid the offense looked at one point. But T.J. Watt's still there. Yeah.
Patrick Queen's there now.
Patrick Queen now in. Running game still there. Arthur Smith now there. They're going to be much better on offense, I gotta think.
And again, Chris, like we were saying, even before Russell got there, Arthur Smith's going to run the football. We said Jalen Warren is going to eat. Najee's going to eat. Now you got Russ coming in?
I think Najee is going to have a great year with quarterback change.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we got somebody.
Hey. We got him. Let's talk to him.
Cam.
The big man.
What's up? How we doing?
What's up, my man? How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Just hanging out in Pittsburgh.
Hey, listen. First of all, just being one, I'm a huge Steeler fan. I've been a Steeler fan since Terry Bradshaw and Rocky Blyer and that whole crew when I was younger with the old electronic football set back in the day playing the game. And then now, of course, you're there, but the Ohio State connection we have is always something to talk about. So it's a pleasure to have you on. It's we've been sitting here in the studio talking about the big news. I don't know if you saw it or not, but with the trade with Buffalo and Stephon Diggs down to Houston, how does that reshape kind of the AFC in your mind?
Well, I wish he would have got traded to the NFC. I'll say that. Diggs is always a problem, but you look at what the Texans are doing. You got him. You got Nico Collins. You got Tank Dell, then you got our Buckeye in the middle with C.J. Stroud. And I just think they got a lot of pieces. And you can't sleep on the Joe Mixon pickup, too, because I think it really balances that team out where they can run or pass. And the questions just come on defense. And now you just added another player to, you know, what was already a good team going into this year. But, you know, the future is bright for the Houston Texans.
What does adding Stephon with CJ, and it's like, what does that do for him as a quarterback?
I think it provides a guy who is reliable. You know, you look at all the top quarterbacks in this league, all they have is a security blanket and a wide receiver. Someone they can go to in those tough moments, someone that can find the ins and outs. You know, Diggs, as soon as he gets there, he better be spending a lot of time with CJ Stroud, because if they can create a connection like he had with Josh Allen, man, it's going to create a lot of problems for the AFC South.
So watching CJ last year, were you surprised that he was able to kind of make that adjustment? And if not, what kind of problems does he cause to opposing defenses?
Well, you think I thought CJ was already talented. You know, if you watch that Georgia game he had, where all the questions need to be answered, and I thought he did an amazing job in the national championship game. So in the season, it wasn't that surprising. I thought he was very calm, cool, collected, playing against top talent. And then, you know, it's not like he's ever rushed. It feels like he's very patient with his game. He's going to take what the defense gives him. If you take away his, you know, his top option, he knows where to find the soft spots. And so I looked at him as a more complete quarterback rather than one guy who stares at down one target and can't move off of it. He's a guy who, you take that away, I know where to go with my next read. So he's having a lot of success now, and he's making everybody look right.
Well, go from a up-and-coming quarterback to an experienced one that you advocated to get in Pittsburgh with Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. What does Russell bring to the table for the Steelers next year?
Well, I think you look at Russ, and the one thing I really wanted, we were losing quarterbacks left and right. You know, Mason Rudolph had just left. Mitch Trubisky was gone. I thought there was going to be a competition there between him and Kenny. But now going forward, you just look for the leadership he's had. A guy who's been in Seattle, who's won games, won a Super Bowl already, didn't have the best time in Denver. But, you know, I think he's a hungry guy who's ready to prove a lot of people wrong. But I think on the offensive side of the ball, we have so many great weapons. And, you know, some of them are younger. So having a more established guy who has been through it is going to benefit the group.
But does Russell have to be the Seattle Russell Wilson or a different version of himself that kind of fits into the mold of what Mike Tomlin and the offense needs from him?
You know, I think it can be a blend of two, of both. You look at what our defense can do. You know, we can score points on defense. We can have an opportunistic special teams. I think it's about growth and whether it's, you know, adjusting to the needs of the game or, you know, understanding that, hey, we might need you to go on a run a little bit. We might need you to score some points. Yeah, we want that. But I think he can have a balance game to game and excel at that. You know, not many people beat Patrick Mahomes last year, but Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos did last year. And, you know, I know it's not one guy that gets it done, but you got to think Russ has done it in this game and knows how to beat top competition.
This is what's always intriguing to me, just again, being a huge Steeler fan. When I say the name Mike Tomlin, that means what to you?
Consistent leadership. A guy that is going to challenge the group, hold the group accountable, and there's never a message that doesn't either resonate with you or gets misconceived. You know, I know what I need to do in my job. And he's let me know from day one, and we've only expanded on that. And I think for every player, it's about living up to the standard he sets. And then, you know, through that, trying to rain that confetti over your head.
You know what I found too, that in the best coaches are the ones that are not afraid to tell their best players what they need to do. You know, the open honesty. And sometimes honesty can be one-sided in one way and not taken that way. But because of, I think, the way Mike gives it to you and his demeanor, you may not like it at some times, but guys are more willing to accept that because of who he is as a man and as a coach. And is there an instance, a time, maybe last year, when you were trying to figure out how to get back to winning and getting over 500 that you can point to where Mike, he was just Mike Tomlin at his best, that kind of rallied the troops?
You know, I think we just lost. It was either after the AZ game or the New England game. He came in and, you know, he laid out what needed to be done. And, you know, he talked about his message and he was just like, I'm not going to switch up. I'm not going to say we need to do anything different. You know, we just need to execute better. I'm going to preach you the same stuff I told you in September. I'm not going to change it up because we're in November. And then because of that, or December, I think because of that, you know, he ended with and saying, we're going to win these games and get into the playoffs. Like, with that consistent message, allows everybody to get back focused. You know, it's not a lack of, you know, guys think for themselves, oh, I got to be special. Oh, I got to do something out of character. No, do what we've done. Do what we've done to get to this point. You know, I think sometimes you can get to a war cry of, I got to do me. I got to do my best.
Right.
I got to be outside of what I've accomplished. And Mike T does a great job of just centering it back to the group and saying, no, just do what we prescribe you to do. Do what makes us great. And I think it allows us to get back to what we've been doing pretty well.
Hey, Cam, TJ here. How you doing, bro?
How you doing, TJ? Good.
You know, we Chris and I got a chance to hang out with you at the Kelce Brothers Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
Good to see you again. That was a good time. Good time. I kind of marked out about how big of a fan of your dad I was to you there, so I hope I wasn't bugging you during the party. We talked about you having a big addition on the offensive side of the ball with Russ coming in. Talk to us about the huge addition that you guys on the defensive side got with Patrick Queen moving over from the Ravens. How do you think he's going to fit in with Steeler Nation?
Well, you know, I think it's funny. I think I read on Twitter, you know, he views himself as a villain now. I'm like, nah, bro, you're just a hero now. You've been a villain all this time. You just became a hero.
Right?
So, you know, I'm excited. I think you look at his game, man, he comes downhill. You know, I remember I was poking fun. My little brother plays on the team. So him and Pat were going back and forth in the game. And so I was like, oh, he gave it to you on that play. And so now to see it the other side, I'm like, Connor, you better be ready because he's going to give it to you again during practice.
Every
you know, I think having a guy like that who can play the run, play the pass, he's a three-down linebacker who allows – the team to just be more flexible and more versatile in our approach. And man, I just love the way he's going to meet dudes in the hole. And, you know, we got some great running backs in our division. You know, you got Nick Chubb, you got Derrick Henry now. And so we got to have a linebacker that is willing to stick his face in the fan, if you know what I mean.
No doubt.
TJ Watt, man, just talk to me about that. Just his overall aggression, his knowledge, his IQ, his motor. I mean, when I watch him play, I'm inspired. And I was a big football player growing up, and I played defensive end, not to that level, but I kind of got smart because it was too cold in Ohio, man. I went inside to the gym, man. I was like, man, it's too cold. But I loved it. But watching TJ and how the defense kind of revolves around him, just how special it is to play with him.
You know, I think TJ, the thing that sticks out with TJ, he's got a serial killer approach, man. He doesn't say a lot, but, he lets his play do the talking. And you know, you see the energy on Sundays, but, everything is so calculated. Everything is about no wasted steps and no wasted movements. And I just think his technique is flawless. And you know, he's always trying to get better. What can I do extra? What are we looking at? You know, I love when he brings his little knowledge, bombs in where he's talking about, hey, I've got a key of what, you know, how much time is on the clock. And when he looks at the clock, he knows he can jump the count. And so having that type of guy who takes that everything into, you know, consideration when he's on the field, man, he is a complete player. I think he was robbed of defensive player of the year. I know Aaron Donald said, you know, he was robbed a couple years ago, but man, that dude is a complete player, and you know, he's the best defensive player in our league right now.
This is going to year 13, right?
14.
14. Don't let me take what year away. So you're the old man in the locker room then, huh? Is that it? Are you the
hey,
old
but Russ is older than me, so I'm kind of liking that now.
So, but if you look back at it, 2011 drafted, how special did is the career kind of where you thought it would be, and how quickly did those 13 now going into the 14 years go by for you?
Oh, man, they've gone by pretty fast. You know, when I first got here, I didn't get the opportunity to start right away. So, you know, I was the guy, you know, watching these future Hall of Famers compete. And, you know, I just wanted to be a sponge in the room. And you know, I've always appreciated those moments because they made me better. It made me work on my craft. It made me understand that I got a lot more to do. And through that, I think I've become a better player because of it. And I've just always tried to get better every year. And, you know, now I'm at a point in my career where I'm a bridge from the, you know, the 2011 team to this now team, where I can, you know, share some stuff about my time. But that doesn't take away from the hunger.
Right.
You know, I still think I got a lot more in the tank and a lot more to prove. And, you know, it's about getting to that mountaintop and having a chance to win these Super Bowls.
I love it. We need one more because I got some New England Patriots fans, and I always call it Six Bird Steelers, you know, for the six rings. And I say we got because I claim it, you know, with us. But, you know, what's interesting here before we go, I want to talk to you. You talk about passing it forward, and you mentioned you have your brother on the team, which is it has to be special. What do you give to him in regards to longevity? I know he's at a different position, but at the same time, he's in the league and he's on the team. Kind of what advice do you give your brother in regards to kind of how to stay the course and extend his career throughout the NFL?
Yeah. You know, I think when you first get in this league, you think you're invincible, and you are quickly reminded that you are not. But I think about taking care of your body, doing the little things off the field, spending time with it, not being the first guy gone. I'm always preaching these things to my little brother. You know, I like to think I'm the Cliff Notes to this for him. And so I'm giving him every bit of knowledge I've got, you know, putting him on a great plan to just keep being successful. But some of it he's got to experience for himself. You know, I didn't always have somebody looking out for my best interest. So, you know, sometimes it's like, yeah, you experience that moment, you know, it's going to make you better. So it's a balance between the two, but I love seeing the course he's on, the journey he's on, because I think he's well equipped for it.
Well, listen, my man, look, best of luck. Hopefully I want to get to a Steelers game at some point this year, try to get there.
Come through.
Holler at my boy, get a jersey signed or whatever.
Got you.
Congratulations again on the Walden Payton Man of the Year Award. I know that's probably one of the biggest accolades outside of winning a Super Bowl. That says a lot about you, your family, what you're doing for your community, man. Stay healthy. Much success. We see you down the line, my man.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. I got to get an O State jersey, too.
I got you, bro. I'm trying to get the gray one, throw back the gray one.
Yes, that's what I need. That's what I need.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, my man.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Cam. Great. The great Cam Hayward.
Hey, listen, man. You know I'm in heaven. So it's almost like the first time I was able to meet Lynn Swann, Terry Bradshaw.
Oh.
Okay. I met Mel Blunt.
Okay.
Franco. I mean, in heaven, bro. In heaven. Now, I never got a chance to meet, like, LC Greenwood, or I didn't get a chance to meet Mean Joe Green or Jack Lamb or Jack Ham, those guys like that. But when I first saw, because that was, like, I thought I was going to be Lynn Swann, man. I was, that's the era I grew up in. Now, to see one of my really good friends, Myron Bell, that from Toledo, Ohio, went to Michigan State and played, but he played for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Nate Washington from Toledo.
Oh, Nate Washington.
From Tiffin, he played at Tiffin College. Went to the Steelers. So bro, when I got somebody that's there, I'm all in, man.
I'd love to see it.
All right, so.
And Cam's a great dude.
He's a great dude, man. I love it, man. A great interview. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side to talk about a little bit more of what maybe TJ has in mind.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
What's the most pissed off you made Nick Saban ever?
Oh, when I took the sack, second and 26 in a national championship. Yeah.
You mean the one that you immediately made up for with an amazing play puts you on the map?
Yeah.
That sack?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the sack.
So walk me through how that, what he said to you, if you can, in a certain way on a live TV broadcast.
I mean, I could only see it on camera, you know, how mad he was. That was probably the most pissed off, though, I think he's ever been. I mean, he was squeezing his headset so hard. And then, you know, like, it was hard because the emotion was, like, so mad to so happy, you know, so fast for him. And, you know, we got into the locker room when everything settled down. I mean, he was still the same coach, you know. Yeah. He pulled me to the side. Like, what were you thinking, you know?
So like taking after the sack. After you won the game,
mm-hmm.
and you're picking confetti out of your hair, he still took a moment moment to revisit that sack.
Yeah. Being who he is, I mean, you know, he pulled me to the side. And he said, you know, well, why did you take the sack?
Right.
You know, and I thought it was a good time to joke with him, you know. So I mean, we won the national championship. So I told him, well, you know, we needed more room to throw the ball, coach. You know, and, like, he looked at me, and, like, I was laughing. He's like, that's not funny. So, I mean, I didn't know what else to do in that situation. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, coach. So I shook his hand, and he just moved on. I was like, oh. Like, oh, man.
That's amazing.
I love that story. Yeah. That made me my favorite story of the whole week. So you just figured, yeah, hey.
I was like, oh, maybe.
Just won it?
Yeah. Thought it was a good time to joke, but it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah, nope. It's never a good time, I guess, in that respect.
Hey guys, let me tell you about Game Time. Game Time is the best place to get tickets, and now they're an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which is great because my favorite team is going to be in this area this weekend, and I'm going to walk on to Game Time and get some seats, maybe take Cage down there. Oh, it's going to be awesome. It makes tickets so much faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. Oh, nice. I can wait. Just at the last second to get the best price for the best seats. Killer last minute deals, all in prices, views from the seat, and the lowest guaranteed price. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying Major League Baseball tickets. It's the ticket app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. Find last minute seats, exclusive flash and sponsor deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, everything. Game Time provides the all-in pricing feature that shows the total upfront. No surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code RICH, R-I-C-H, $20 off the first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code R-I-C-H, $20 off. TJ, don't forget the code, man.
Yeah.
Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, TJ. Lowest price guaranteed.
Forgot the code the first time I used the
gym. The code, so we got to remind them.
But Clipper tickets want to see Wemby come to town for the first time.
Oh, early in the season.
When the Game Time app, Baloo, got some dope seats for me and my boy Riley.
Forgot the code.
Forgot the code.
Call your boy next time.
Don't forget
call your boy.
I got your number now.
Call your boy.
You know, it's a whole new world.
We open up a whole new avenue for you right there.
I think it's safe to say we all became best friends.
You know what I'm saying? But you better do it quick because the Clippers are losing in the first round. Let's be honest.
He had
TJ.
To get that in.
He had to.
Yeah.
So we're almost at break. He could have let it slide.
Knock it in. You know what I'm saying, Jim?
No, I don't. I really don't. You know, I have a biased opinion within this subject matter because I happen to cover the team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my bad.
The disrespect is real.
So I have more insight into what's really going on.
Oh, really? Can you explain what James Harden's been doing the last three games?
He's a little wore down a little bit.
I'm just saying, you could go out there and throw up 3 for 13.
I would be with these lungs right now with this cigar smoke. There's no way. I would be spotted up in the corner, just give it to me. I wouldn't even make it to the three-quarter court.
You couldn't even give a couple minutes, Jim? Come on.
No, let me tell you what. It's a different – I'm in shape. I'm nowhere near basketball shape.
It's Cohiba Jimmy.
Yeah, that's like – sometimes I'm walking up some steps, I'm like, ooh.
Oh, so you take the elevator when you're a fox like me?
Sometimes. You know, to the second floor. Yeah, avocado second floor.
You know.
Hey, I'm going back to your tickets now. So if you get them at the last minute, that means that you wait for discounts at stores and everything else. Because it's a personality trait, I see.
Sometimes. Am I right?
Jim, you know Chris better than you know Chris right now.
What do you say about him, Mike?
There's a deal. Like, sometimes you have a deal.
When was the last time you bought something that was face value?
Full price? Ooh. Good question.
I mean, by the way, we could talk an hour on this subject.
No, I'm the king of hookups now.
Sneakers app. You got to pay full price on that.
Jim, spend a lot of money.
I got to give him this story. We literally go out. We'll sit at a bar. I'm sitting there drinking.
Yeah.
Chris will come up like right up next.
I'll saddle right up to Mike. You got this?
You got this drink? Yeah, you both. You know him.
Crown of Ginger, Mike. You got this?
You got this? Mike, will you buy me a drink?
Okay, but here's the key. Does he order a not so expensive drink just because you're paying? His different if he was to pay for it.
He would still get the same order.
That says a lot about his personality, too.
But it's like, just go, Mike, you got this round?
No, he's like, you got this.
Yeah, it's like, you got this. It's not even like, no, Chris, and then I have to do it.
No, you don't even get it out. It's just boom.
I'm learning so much more about this crew. I'm actually loving it.
Saying goodbye to our radio audience?
Yeah, goodbye to the radio audience.
Yeah. So let's just do the math, right?
Okay.
There's like 7 games left, and then 4. You get 5 games, so there's like 12 games left of the Clipper season.
No, right? 7.
No, regular. I'm talking then the play. Then
this
like,
guy's
then
trying
like
to say
five. Something. Why you say the play in?
Then like
I heard
off,
you.
Play
no,
off.
No, you said play
yeah,
in.
Like
no, no, you said play
games.
In.
Play 5 playoff games.
Stop it.
Luca's coming to town. He's going to take your soul.
So, now, Luca, in the past, we've had problems guarding Luca. Luca goes, he was averaging like last year, like 40, like 40 points a game.
But losing those games. He can score 50.
That's right. He can score. Now, it's a little different with Gafford now and also with Kyrie. But I just think our matchups and the refocus part of, we got to get to the end of the year, depending on where we fall, that 4th, 5th slot. I think it's very important for the Clippers to fall fourth, to be in fourth, because you get home court advantage.
Yeah.
Now it depends on who you play, because we didn't win the series against New Orleans if they stay in 5th. The way we get home court is if we win the Pacific, and then the division winner gets home court. If not, the Pels, even though they're behind us one slot, they won
the season series.
So that's the challenge that we face.
Right.
We got this.
We got it? See, I like you, TJ. Chris,
it's my man.
On the other side of this, we'll come back
to I'm a Boston fan. Jim, what do you want from me?
Well, there you go. Back after this.
Coming up.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.